Welcome to King James Seminary. Today's lesson is on the Eighth Commandment, found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Exodus 20, verse 15, the Eighth Commandment, reads simply, "Thou shalt not steal." This is not a long commandment because it doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. It is pretty plain and clear. Stealing, as defined by John Gill, who lived several centuries ago, reads like this, quote, that which is taken from another by force or fraud." Stealing is that which is taken from another by force or fraud against the will of the owner, knowingly or unknowingly, unquote. Now, this would include property loss, not just personal effects, things on you. It would include property loss or damages. A person can steal also, besides having been robbed, a person can steal from themselves. And they can do that by wasting their lives, their natural talents, and their resources that God has given them. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And these we need to take care of and be good stewards of. Now, this type of living is classified in the Bible as riotous living or living prodigal. And let's look at the illustration given in the Bible. Luke chapter 15, verse 13. And on, this is the prodigal son. And let's just read these few verses here. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." End quote. All right, here we note a few things here that after the man has wasted the things that was given to him, things that he had not earned with his foolish living, riotous waste, the world in which he escaped to was not very charitable to him. And he found life to be very harsh, separated from his father. Now, riotous living or living prodigal is a result, or can be a result, of idleness. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 33 and 34. Let's take a look at that. "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." So those who are not diligent in their work, but rather choose to waste their time and lounge about and sleep a major portion of their life away, find the truth of this, of these verses, that poverty comes upon them. Something else along this line is stinginess. Now, stinginess is often not thought of in this classification of the Eighth Commandment, but it should, I think, be included because stinginess is not permitting yourself to enjoy what God has given. So, in other words, God has given you a talent, God has given you something, and you refuse to use it or share it. If you're stingy with your the things God has given you, you're not enjoying its benefits. God has given it to you for a reason. God has given us His blessings for us to enjoy and be good stewards of. Also, a gambler, he picks his own pocket. There are about 5 million who play the lottery every day in the United States. The lottery is nothing but legalized gambling. So what we have is people foolishly picking their own pocket. The odds of winning are literally astronomical. Now, theft can occur two ways. Theft can occur individually or collectively. Now, selfishness is the number one reason given for stealing. Now, this was a survey asked of thieves who were caught and in jail. And the number one reason they gave for stealing was actually selfishness. It's amazing, but there's such a thing as millionaire shoplifters. Every once in a while you'll hear on the news of a celebrity, a movie star, a person who has plenty of money and could buy just about anything in the store. Every once in a while you'll hear of a person like that being arrested for shoplifting. Even though they could indeed buy it because they have plenty of money, they nevertheless choose to shoplift, treating it as a game, not having learned the importance of morality. A thief denies A thief, or all theft, denies the fact that God is enough. All theft denies the fact that God is enough. For that, see Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 8. Let's see. Basically, Philippians 4:11 says, "Whatsoever state I am, therein be content." We are to take Paul's advice to heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 reads something to the effect that godliness with contentment is great gain. And also, lastly, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation or way of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he said, I would never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now from this verse it is obvious that we are to be satisfied with God and His blessings. He is able to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Now, collective theft is done through gangs, such as robbery in riots. And also through corporations such as price fixing and price gouging, as well as selling through deception. Now, you see, the government is one of the major offenders here in America as far as theft, by having high taxes and or many and unjust taxes. The U.S. government, it's not just our government, but governments around the world, in particular the United States government, plunders its citizens by borrowing money. This devalues the dollar. The scenario is that when Congress needs money above the revenue produced from taxes, they ask the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private bank, for a loan. Since they have no money but are already in debt, the bank cannot produce its own money, since the Treasury Department is the only one that can print it. So, the Treasury prints the money and gives it to the Federal Reserve at a cost of about present day money, at a cost of about 5 cents per bill, no matter what denomination of bill, about 5 cents to print a bill. Now, the Federal Reserve in turn then gives the Congress the money at face value. Now, the $20 bill then would be given to the Congress for $20, not for the 5 cents that it cost to print it. So the difference between the $20 or whatever denomination the bill is, could be a $100 bill, $50 bill, the difference between the bill's value and what it costs to print it produces the national debt. Now, in 2012, a little bit of statistics here, the robbery rate in the United States was 112.9 per 100,000, or approximately $1,167 value per robbery. Now, bank robbery was at a value of $3,810 per offense. Now, we had mentioned property crimes earlier in the lesson. Property crimes would include burglary, larceny and theft, motor vehicle theft, and arson. In the year 2012, there were 8,975,438 reported offenses. So, robbery and theft seems to be right in style these days. The historic rule is that a corrupt government, any government that's corrupt, will steal everything as it collapses. As it goes down, it'll be grasping at straws and will increase its load on its citizens. Now, Proverbs 11:1 states that a fair balance eliminates fraud. In other words, it should be, well, it is against biblical law to have what is called a floating dollar, or a dollar that is not based on any gold reserve. They can make the value of the dollar whatever they want. It is nothing but thievery to have a floating dollar. And in the case of the Federal Reserve, it is like leaving the thieves in charge of the bank account. In the Bible, there is what is called the law of restitution. You'll find this law in Exodus chapter 22, verse 1, verse 4, and verse 7. The law of restitution. Basically, the thief is to restore that which was stolen, and not just of equal value, but at least double. Exodus chapter 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it and sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Verse 4, if the theft be certainly found in his hands alive, whether it be an ox or an ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Verse 7. The man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house. If the thief be found, let him pay double. So the law of restitution is a biblical law. You have a, you're bound legally to restore that which you have stolen, and then some. Now there's also, besides the law of restitution, there is a law of retribution. The law of retribution simply is the eye for an eye concept found in Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 25. And you also mention, here it mentioned or explained, illustrated in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42, the law of retribution. Now, let's take a few look at a few doctrinal points here. First up is owe no one anything. Owe no one anything. That concept is found in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Now, these days, it is difficult not to owe anyone. With the prices of things, you just about have to have a government loan to go to the grocery store. However, the biblical concept is to owe no one anything. This would encourage people to be more self-sufficient. Keep our books balanced and our lives clear of debt. Concept number two, besides owe no one anything, is the opposite of stealing is giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, charity never faileth. Okay, concept number three, government, civil government, is not above God's law. If God has written in his law, thou shalt not steal, then civil government must follow this law. Number four, concept number four, we are not to oppress others through cheating. We are not to oppress others through cheating. Now, that would include cheating a man out of his wages. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14. And Deuteronomy 24, 14 and 15. Also, an interesting concept you find these days is co-signing. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5. If anyone entices you to co-sign for them to help them buy something, you better look up Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15. Simply stated, you shouldn't do it. No co-signing. Concept number five is sin is not to reign over us. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 14. We are not to get ourselves deep into debt, so we become slaves to that debt. Concept number six. Our treasure is to be in heaven. We're to lay up in heaven treasure. We're not to lay it up here on earth. So our heart is to be heavenward. And we shouldn't be so covetous and lusting after the things of this world that we put ourselves deep into debt over those things. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Concept number seven, a Christian cannot love Christ and be selfish. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Concept number seven. We are to be faithful and trustworthy. We are to have the reputation, the witness that we are trustworthy and we are faithful. If we give our word that we will pay, then we pay. If we owe a debt, pay it. If you cannot pay it, then you need to go to the one that you owe the debt to and make arrangements. Psalm 15, verses 2 through 5. Psalm 15, verses 2 through 5. We are to have ethics in our finances. Lastly, concept number eight, and this is probably the most important. Christ has paid restitution for us unto the Father. Now, that doesn't mean we don't pay restitution here on earth, but we are to follow His example. If you have stolen something in the past, you need to return it. Christ has paid restitution for us unto the Father. The restitution to at least double, if you remember from what we just read here a few minutes ago, the restitution to at least double points to the sufficiency of the blood. If you remember some of these cases, they were to return for every sheep, they were to return four sheep. So we see that the value of that which is being returned is greater than that which was stolen. So that points to the high value of the shed blood on the cross. This concludes the lesson on the Eighth Commandment, and we need to make sure that we follow this commandment. It is very important. There's a lot of ways of being dishonest with ourselves and with God. And there's a passage in Malachi about stealing from God and by not paying what we owe Him in our tithes, offerings, and their love offerings. We need to be honest with Him. If we find we cannot pay our love offerings, what we owe the treasury, then we need to make arrangements with the Father. And with that, I believe we need to stop and go to prayer. Dear gracious Father, we ask now that Thou will forgive us of our shortcomings and of our sins and these things of which we have so easily besetting us. And we ask that You'll forgive us of breaking Your commandments and not doing what's right. Give us a heart to do Thy will and to do Thy word. Be with each hearer of Your word, that You will bring forth the fruits of righteousness in their lives, that they might honor Thee in what they say and do, and to be a good witness for Thee, that they will have a good, clean testimony. Now we pray these things in Your name and for Your sake. Amen.